listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It is so good to be with you. Today, we're doing our special focus session, Seeking Justice in an Unjust World. Now, what is this about? We've talked about injustice, unjustice, but this is a little different. But then maybe it's not. No one would deny that injustice occurs in our society and that people experience oppression, even violence. But how should we respond to the tragic and unjust events in our lives and around us? There's the unborn, the aged, the disabled, and those who are different racial and ethnically. This is a question that many Christians have yet to answer. God sees the plight. We need to realize that God sees the plight of these oppressed people, and He acts on their behalf, and He calls us to do the same. So our passage today is in the book of Obadiah, and we are looking at verses 1 through 4 and verses 10 through 17.
All right. Obadiah is a powerful little book, and maybe many of our listeners might not have even read the book of Obadiah before. So this is going to be a very interesting and a great study for us. So the point is, join God in pursuing justice in the face of indifference and oppression. And so here's the question, how can we stand against indifference and oppression? Here's number one, don't be arrogant. And so let me read verses 1 through 4. This is what the Lord God has said about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy has been sent among the nations. Rise up and let's go to war against her. Look, I will make you insignificant among the nations. You will be deeply depressed, deeply despised. Your arrogant heart has deceived you. You who live in the cliffs of the rock, in your home on the heights, who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you seem to soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars, even from there I will bring you down. This is the Lord's declaration. And so here's the first thing. When fighting against indifference and oppression, don't be arrogant. And so, part of this idea is that you can't give a tit for tat, evil for evil. And so the idea of arrogance is what causes indifference and oppression. And so you can't win over indifference and oppression by taking on those same tactics. And so so that is what we get to see here in this particular passage, attitude that God speaks against. So what are you seeing here in this particular text, Christina?
Yeah, you know, Mark, Obadiah's prophecy is unique. Because usually prophecies deal with Judah or Israel and their sins and all of that. But his focus is on the sin of Edom and the judgment that's coming on them. And of course, the sin here mentioned is that they were arrogant. And so, since this is not a very familiar book, we may ask, well, who are the Edomites? So we see here that the Edomites are the people descended from Esau, the son of Isaac and the son of Rebekah. He was the twin brother of Jacob, and that's who the Edomites were. And so they were prideful. They were filled with pride, and it deceived them. And they made a light of it, and they boasted about it. So as Christians, that's a lesson that we need to learn, that regardless of who we are, we're all made in God's image. And so we're called to reflect God's heart toward all people. It's not about us. As I've heard my pastor's wife say, it's not about us. It's about God.
So listen to that. So he says, look at their arrogant heart. So they live in the cliffs, right? So today we wouldn't say we live in the cliffs, but maybe you live in the hills. You know, you got a house in the hills, or, you know, big house, big car, big bank account, those kind of things. You live in the cliffs your home's in the heights. And you say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? And so, you know, you feel like, man, nothing can touch me. I'm untouchable. And so all of those are signs of arrogance. And so we don't win injustice and oppression by being arrogant. Well, what's the second thing? The second point here in this particular passage is we can't be indifferent to the plight of others. Don't be indifferent, right? So let me read verses 10 through 14. You will be covered with shame and destroyed forever because of violence done to your brother Jacob. On the day you stood aloof, on the day strangers captured his wealth, while foreigners entered his city gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were just like one of them. Do not gloat over your brother in the day of his calamity. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction. Do not boastfully mock in the day of distress. Do not enter my people's city gate in the day of their disaster. Yes, you, do not gloat over their misery in the day of their disaster, and do not appropriate their possessions in the day of their disaster. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off their fugitives, and do not hand over their survivors in the day of distress. And so what we can't be is indifferent about the plight of others. And so this is what we get to see in this text, that verse 11, that Edom stood aloof. They just didn't care. That Jacob and his descendants were being plummeted, and their wealth was being taken. And what this says is that the Edomites, rather than coming to their aid, stood aloof. And so this is what happens sometimes when people are prosperous, and we just don't care about those who are suffering around us. And we get in this mindset that we only care about me, mine, and mine. And so we become indifferent to the sufferings of the people around us. That is not the Christian way. The Christian way reminds us that God is concerned about the plight of the poor and the oppressed. So remember Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 4, when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has caused me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus would never have wanted us, just like he would not stand aloof, not caring about those who are oppressed around us. So we can't be good Christians and live as if we don't care what happens to anybody else. And, you know, as long as I'm taken care of, as long as I got mine, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to anybody else. No. That is not the God way. And that is what is cried against in this particular passage. So that attitude is not one that is helpful in any kind of way. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, it says here, Mark, too, that this violence is against your brother Jacob. And so what the Edomites are doing here is that they are sinning against their family. And I believe that, you know, it's a sin to treat anybody badly, anybody. But I think it's worse, and I think that's indicated here, it's worse when we treat a brother or a sister in Jesus badly. You know, it's a sin to speak harshly to anyone, but it's worse to speak harshly to your husband or your wife. So you get the point here. So the Edomites, when strangers attacked Judah, they did nothing. They stood by and they cheered for Judah's misery. And these are their people. These are their people. So that is something that I wanted to bring out here, that sometimes, you know, these sins can be worse when we're supposed to love folk.
And so let me say that, let me draw a little circle around this to say that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Huh? So doesn't matter whether we're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. We're all brothers and sisters in the faith. And then we're all brothers and sisters in humanity, right? So out of one blood, God has created all flesh. And so one piece of flesh is no greater than another piece of flesh. And so God is the Lord of us all. And so it doesn't matter who the other person is. It doesn't matter who is on the short end of the stick being oppressed, that our Christian responsibility is to come to the aid of the oppressed and those who are struggling and to seek justice. What does Micah say? What have you desired, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, right? And so those three things that we hear are not being practiced by the Edomites in this particular text, nor are they practiced by any of us who stand aloof or who have attitudes of arrogance. And so it's important for us not to be indifferent or arrogant concerning these things. But just like Jesus, he got involved to bring about a fairness to all the people. So there it is. And what a great time, because this lesson is right here. We are right at Martin Luther King Day weekend. And so Martin Luther King was not personally being affected by some of the circumstances, but he decided to get involved and became a champion for justice. And we too have to be champions for justice. It is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Come on now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can't keep praying that prayer and then turn a blind eye to the troubles of the people who are around us. And so so this Martin Luther King weekend is a great, what a powerful lesson this is on this weekend. And so let's get to the third point, which is a reminder that God will judge us all. And so let me read verse 15 and following. For the day of the Lord is near against all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. What you deserve will return on your own head. As you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and gulp down and be as though they had never been. But there will be deliverance on Mount Zion, and it will be holy. The house of Jacob will dispossess those who dispossessed them. All right, so here we are in this last passage, a reminder, God will judge all of us. And so he says there, what you have done will be done for you. Come on. And so forgive us our sins as we forgive. What you have done will be done for you. So it is a reminder to us that God brings all of us and all of our lives into judgment. And so whatever we are doing in our lives, will it stand up in the divine judgment is the real question. And it's not will your friend think good about you. It's not whether the culture of your community will think good about you. But ultimately, when God brings judgment, how will he judge your life and your works? Because we will all stand before him in judgment. And then there's a beautiful ending here on this particular passage. And it says that there will be deliverance. Do you see that there? There will be deliverance on Mount Zion. And so it is a prophetic statement in the text, because remember, Mount Zion is the city of David. Mount Zion is the mountain on which Jerusalem is built. Mount Zion then is the place, is the mountain on which Jesus dies on Calvary's cross. Come on now. So the deliverance that's on Mount Zion ultimately is Jesus' death on Calvary's cross, which is the only deliverance that all of us will find in our lives. And he died for the sins of the world. Aren't we glad that he was not indifferent? He did not stand aloof. He was not arrogant, but he was meek and mild. And so ultimately, God will bring all of us in judgment. And the only deliverance from the judgment we will find at the cross of Calvary. What a message this is.
Amen. 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 And you know, Mark, this is a simple justice that God has said he will give to the Edomites. What they did to the people of Judah will also be done to them. That's what is said here. This is their judgment. So the same principle is true for us as well. If we want mercy from God, we do well to give mercy to others. You know, God said, if we forgive, he will forgive us. So the same thing that we do to others, that's what's going to come back. So while God will ultimately right all wrongs and he's going to bring justice, it doesn't mean, as you've already said, that we need to just sit idly by and do nothing when there are injustices. We are God's children, and we're his ambassadors. We need to work for justice. There's a scripture that says in Proverbs 31, 8 through 9, "Speak up for those who have no voice, for the justice of all who are depossessed. Speak up, judge righteously, and defend the cause of the oppressed and needy." That's a command. And we can't ignore that at all. If you have not been one who spoke up for justice, and it doesn't mean that you have to get out in the street and carry signs and things like that. There's so many ways to speak up for justice, and simple ways like writing a letter or making a phone call or something like that. But the point is here to speak up. Don't stand aloof and speak up for those who are in need.
All right. That's absolutely true. Wow. And so there are things we need to speak up about in these days that we live in. And I hope that you will take some time to reflect on this during this Martin Luther King weekend where we teach this lesson. All right. So thank you all so very much. This is going to be such a powerful and timely lesson as we go through this one together. And so please, my friend, I want to just remind you to hold on if you're a Bible study teacher for just a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. But I want to remind each of you to get your own copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum. You can find it at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is for us and by us. It is available in paper and digital formats. The teacher's guide is inside the book. So you get everything. You get the Bible study, you get the teacher's guide, and you get daily devotional readings all in one. In addition, there's a great leaders packet that you can get to be lots of helpful additional resources. And it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. And so everybody can be kind of talking together about what they are studying in Bible study together around a dinner table on Sunday afternoon. Wouldn't that be great? So, Fran, just hold on one moment. Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is one that we've used often, but it's always, always relevant. Be prayerful. This session is designed to foster conversations about justice, oppression, and racial reconciliation. These are extremely weighty, and they are sensitive topics that may unlock many emotions. So, as the leader, as the teacher, be sure to spend time praying for your class time, praying for your learners, and praying for yourself. Here's an idea too. Read and meditate on 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 10, 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 10, and 1 Kings 3, 5 through 9, and ask God for wisdom to lead your class the way God granted Solomon wisdom. You know, James does say, and we've said this before, that if you lack wisdom, then ask God for wisdom. And God will indeed meet that need.
All right. So this is great. This is great. Such a powerful and timely lesson for us right now. So I want to just remind you, friend, join us again for another You podcast, because you never know where God will take you.